This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Paleontologists dig up fossils of some strange dinosaurs. There's the big-nosed horned-faced Triceratops cousin, the recently discovered pygmy T-Rex in the Arctic, but a dinosaur that scientists recently described in the journal PLOS-1 might top them all. They're calling it the chicken from hell. Matt LaManna is the lead author on that paper and assistant curator of vertebrate paleontology at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks, Ira. Thanks for having me on.
Is that a little overstatement, the chicken from hell? Or did they hit it right on the head there?
Well, I think that, first of all, I can't claim credit for the nickname, though I kind of wish I could. I think that if you could take a time machine back to the end of the age of dinosaurs and see this animal, walking around its environment, I mean, your first thought might not be, wow, what a weird dinosaur. If you were close enough to it, you might think, what a strange-looking bird. And so, it wouldn't have looked exactly like a giant chicken, but it would have looked, something like a cross between a typical dinosaur and a bird. And so, there are some very chickeny features with it. We thought the nickname was appropriate.
Yeah.
And also it comes from the Hell Creek Formation, a set of rocks.
So
there's kind of a double entendre there. And, it was just too good of a nickname to use.
You don't see many chickens that are 5 feet tall at the hips and weigh between 400 to 600 pounds, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure.
Dinosaur.
The animal would look something like a cassowary, which is a giant ground bird that lives in Australia and New Guinea. It would have been about 10 feet long, we think. It had a tall crest on its head that may have been brightly colored, maybe to attract a mate or to, display or whatever. It had a toothless beak, long arms tipped with sharp claws, and probably it was covered in feathers. And we know this because other members of the same dinosaur group have been found with feathers on them.
I'm afraid to ask this next question, but I...
Go ahead.
That is, what does that dinosaur eat?
I think
you're going to say anything it wants to, right?
Yeah, no, right? No, that's actually a fantastic question and something that we go into at length in the paper. The best we can say, most of the time when we're trying to figure out what an individual dinosaur ate, we can look at the teeth and get an idea. This animal is toothless, so it's a little bit more of a problem that way.
Mm.
The best we can say is that it probably ate plants a lot of the time due to the structure of its jaw, but probably also, thanks to these long arms tipped with really sharp claws, it probably, if it saw a mammal or something running by, it probably wouldn't have hesitated to, grab it and shove it down its throat.
When you say long arms,
do you mean they're
like chicken legs or arms on?
It would have long, chicken-like legs.
Yeah.
But one of the main differences of this animal versus modern birds is that the, like a bird, the forelimbs, the arms or wings, if it's a bird,
right,
were long. But in this creature, the hands are tipped with 5-inch claws. And
ooh.
So one of the unchickeny things about this thing is the front legs.
And so it was living at the same time as a T-Rex, those dinosaurs?
Yes, it was, absolutely. as big and formidable as Anzu, this new dinosaur, was, undoubtedly it would have lived in fear of Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Mm-hmm. And is that the nickname we call it, Anzu?
The actual genus, so the nickname is the chicken from hell. As you might have guessed, the genus and species name are Anzu wilii, which translates roughly to Wily's feathered demon. In other words, we wanted to invoke the chicken from hell nickname in our official name for this animal.
Why were dinosaurs so much bigger toward the end of their era than they were at the beginning,
or bigger than things
today?
That the gigantism of certain dinosaurs is a major question in dinosaur research and something that's not entirely resolved. But it is safe to say that there is no, at least really obvious, trend in increasing size in dinosaurs throughout their evolutionary history. In fact, the biggest dinosaurs that we know about actually come from the middle of the Cretaceous period, probably about 95 million years ago. So the biggest ones we know of are actually 30 million years before the end of the age of dinosaurs.
And now you're saying that this dinosaur is described as being covered in feathers, and that goes along with the relatively new idea that dinosaurs were birds, but well accepted now.
Yes,
correct?
Absolutely. It's nearly universally accepted that birds are descended from dinosaurs. So what that means is that every single one of the 10,000 living species of birds ultimately arose from a dinosaur. And we infer this animal to be covered in feathers because more primitive close relatives of this animal have been found with feathers on them. In fact, I would say the discovery or the resolution that dinosaurs gave rise to birds is one of the biggest advances in dinosaur paleontology in the history of our science.
Wow. Where can we see this dinosaur? Is it on display anywhere yet?
Yeah, we have a replica of the whole skeleton on display at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History in Pittsburgh. So I hope people passing through Pittsburgh will stop by and give it a look.
Well, you know, tomorrow the doors may be busted open, so you better open early because a lot of people might
I hope so.
Yeah, this is a North American species?
Yeah, so the cool thing about this animal, probably the biggest scientific significance of it, is that it belongs to this dinosaur group called the Oviraptorosaurs. And this is a group that's been known about for a long time and well-known from remains in Asia. But ever since the first Oviraptorosaurs were discovered, we knew that members of this group existed in North America as well. But up until this point, up until the discovery of Anzu Weilii, the skeletons of these animals had been very, very incomplete. So we knew that Oviraptorosaurs lived in North America, but we didn't know how they were related to their Asian cousins, what they looked like, what they might have eaten, and so on. And now that we've got, you know, a nearly complete skeleton of one of these North American Oviraptorosaurs, we can come closer to answering these questions than ever before.
So there must have been many of these then around.
Yeah, definitely. This group of dinosaurs is a fairly diverse group if you talk about Oviraptorosaurs as a whole, we have numerous fossils of these things from Asia and also some fossils from North America, collectively comprising, it would have to be over 20 species at this point.
Mm-hmm. But you're a specialist in southern dinosaurs.
Yeah, predominantly. My my first love, paleontologically speaking, is dinosaurs from the southern continent. So I've worked for a long time in Argentina, also in Africa, Australia, and now in Antarctica as well.
Okay. Do you expect to see more of these fossils turning up of this one?
Yes, we do. Yeah. In fact, there's a very good likelihood that more fossils of this animal already exist. There was a nice discovery this summer by friends of mine at the Burpee Museum of Natural History in Rockford, Illinois, that seems to be another skeleton of this new dinosaur, Anzu Weilii. And so, if it turns out to be that, it'll add even more information to our understanding of the skeleton of this animal.
Great name, Anzu Weilii. Easy, rolls off the tongue.
Thanks.
Goes right, yeah. Right up there with T-Rex, I think.
I wish.
Matt LaManna, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
My pleasure.
Good luck to you. Matt LaManna is a lead author on that paper and assistant curator of vertebrate paleontology at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History in Pittsburgh, PA.